Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. All these radio programs are there in MP3 files. We also have a TV program, and all of those TV programs are under the heading of Searching the Scriptures, and you can look at any of them by searching the subject matter by there in alphabetical order, and there are 30-minute segments, and we cover a variety of issues and subjects. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of those services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to call upon us. For the past few months, we've been looking at the subject of sin. We are now looking at sins of the heart. And we began last week looking at this subject by defining what the Bible heart is. We want to remind you, the Bible heart is the part of man's intellect, his will, and his emotion, how he reasons, how he understands, and how he interprets the things that he is going to do in the actions that he will undertake. Let us continue looking at the Bible heart. What makes a heart either evil or good? The fact is that every heart is either one or the other at some point in time. These two things are completely opposite. A person brings forth fruit in keeping what's in his heart. Let us read Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45. We see that we bear fruit by the actions that we conduct and the things that we do in our lives. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the scripture says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So a person brings fruit and action and work according to what's in his heart. The heart of man started out pure, but became evil when he made the wrong choice. In Genesis 1, we read that he was made in the image of God. He was given free will. He was given moral capacity to choose. In Genesis chapter 3, he chose to yield to Satan's temptation, therefore committing sin, therefore corrupting his heart. The same is true today when one yields to the temptations of the tempter. In James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." And so you see, when we yield to the tempter and we yield to temptation, we commit sin. What contributes to one having an evil heart? We are influenced by what we see, what we hear, and what we place in our mind and in our heart. This is called conditioning. How is it accomplished? It's accomplished in our society in many ways. In TV, in radio, in music, in immodesty, in pornography, in what we read, and what we place into our mind. All of it is seeking to get an advantage and a ability to rule our minds, to corrupt our minds. On the other side of the coin, there are pure things trying to invade your heart that will lead to good things. Witnessing the unfeigned love and faith of godly people, striving to serve God, can cause you to increase your service to God. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 8, Philippians 4 and verse number 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You see, we can put good things in our heart. God's word, the faith and the commitment and the dedication we see of others, the actions of others that are living a godly life. All those can help us put our mind in the right place. We must be concerned about those in whom we associate with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, there is a warning. Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good habits. We need to be concerned about who we associate with because they can influence us. They can direct us in ways that are contrary to God's will in our lives. So we've got to be careful about that. We need to be in fellowship with godly people who can influence us to live closer to God and can influence us to live lives that are in accordance with God's will. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again to my necessities. You see, these brethren in Thessalonica, they were an encouragement to Paul because they helped him. Spiritually minded people bring out good. Carnally minded people bring out evil. How do we know that? Well, we read it last week in Romans chapter 1. A mind that does not retain God is a reprobate mind. A mind that does not retain godly thoughts and godly things will end up producing things that are ungodly and evil. Why? Because there's no goodness in them in his mind. Strength is gained by being influenced by godly people. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the Great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us a grave responsibility. He said, beginning in verse number 13 of the 5th chapter, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, we are to be a light. We are to be an example. We are to be an influence for others. But we can't do that unless we put goodness and good things in our heart, because that's the only way it's going to produce good in our actions. It is not done against our will. It is our choice. You choose, I choose what we put in our mind. You choose, I choose what we put in our heart. What do we think on? What do we look at? What do we read? What do we listen to? What are the things and the people we put around us and influence us? These are choices, dear listener. Choices we make every day, and they have an outcome. Those choices are going to have a bearing on the actions of our lives, and we need to understand that. We must make sure that we do not involve ourselves in things that appeal to the worldly and sensual things around us. We exercise and practice things which are godly and are not evil. Let us read a few passages together that will help us understand this. Let's begin in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. In his letter to the church in Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. It is up to each of us to renew our mind in following and putting godly things in our hearts. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, the scripture says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life now and that which is to come. We also read in 1 John chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 15, the avenues of sin that we are to avoid. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so we must practice things that are godly, that are righteous, that are in accordance with his will. And when we practice those things and when we put those things in our mind and in our hearts, then it will cause us to think right, it will cause us to do right, and it will cause our actions to be godly and honorable, and it will help us to be an influence, an example to good to those around us. But all of us are going to need the Lord's help because Satan is going to try to defeat us. In the Great Imitation, in Matthew the 11th chapter, in verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, brethren and friend, it is up to us to place the things in our hearts that can cause us to be successful in being an example and an influence and a Christian and a godly person in an ungodly world. We have many things that work against us. There are many things trying to distract us. There are many things trying to get into our mind, in our hearts, in order to cause us to follow a path that is contrary and completely alienated and will alienate us from God. We need to be smarter. We need to be wiser in looking at the things that we listen to, the things that we read, the people that we listen to, the associations that we have in this physical life. We need to be smarter and wiser in what we put in our mind, because whatever we're putting in our mind is what's going to be produced in our action. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You can't do evil until evil is permeated in your mind. You can't do good. You can't do honorable things. You can't do godly things unless you have good, honorable, and godly things in your mind. You see, it is a process. It is a process that we must guard our heart. We read this last week in Proverbs 4, verse 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life." Everything about your life, everything about your relationship to God, your influence to others, and how you can impact those around about you are going to be influenced by the decisions and the choices that you make every day of your life. Every day of our life, we place things in our heart. We place material and we put thoughts and we put intents and purposes. And we put all this in our heart and in our mind, and it's stored there. And it's going to come out in our action. And if we don't put good things in, we can't get good things out. If you put evil in, evil's coming out. If you put good in, good will come out. And so how do we make sure we put the good? We make wise and godly choices. We put things in our hearts that will cause us to act in ways that will be conducive to godliness and will produce an influencing example to good and godly character that others will observe and can influence them to reciprocate. I want you to think about what we've said this morning and begin to make choices that put better things in your heart. Thank you for listening. We will continue this discussion next Lord's Day, Lord willing. We hope you have.